This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Eli Manning, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Eli, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday. It's October 25th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're a partner. We're together for the next 3.5 hours. The other 20 and a half, your responsibility. And you might say, why 3.5? Well, Ranger game today. The Red Hot Rangers went out and dominated on the road. Now they'll try to dominate it. Madison Square Garden. So we have a 6:30 pregame show for the Rangers, and game time is at 7. Trust everybody had a very good weekend. If you're a Jet fan, you didn't. If you're a Giants fan, you can convince yourself that you did. How's everything going, guys?
Good.
Well, can we start with something positive?
Sure.
If you're a supporter of this program and you listen to the men on this show who do picks every week, you went out and made a lot of money this weekend. Let's just be real.
I mean, 8 out of 9.
8 out of 9. And Don, how did Rick and Dave even talk to us this week with how bad their pick was?
Well,
what do they again, do?
I have to be consistent. I guess you can blame Vegas. But they owned it. They collectively got together and said, that's the pick we want to represent our show.
I mean, and by the way, that's a separate subject for maybe ENN, the level of trouble that Kansas City is in and how bad that hit was on Patrick Mahomes late in that game. But I got to say, some beautiful picks on this show. Michael, I did not love the Cincinnati pick, and it was basically – in good shape by the third quarter. You kind of knew you were getting it.
It was really the pick of the day other than the Patriots.
So you had two of the picks of the day. You had both.
Yeah. I really truly believe that. And also the Packers, which wasn't the pick of the day, but it worked out because Washington can't score. Here are the records now. Peter's 14-6-1 with 28 what? Points.
I'm even amazed by that record, I got to be honest.
I'm 12-9 with Not 23 bad. Points. Both of us won 3-0, 6-point week. And Don, 9-11-1 with 16.5 points. Trouble time for Don because the one game that he had wrong was the big swing game. As he said, it was moving day, and he moved away.
Blah.
It was moving day, and he moved to Bridgeport, Connecticut.
That's a nice shot to take to Bridgeport.
Well, I just mean far away from where, just far away from where Don is in New Jersey. That's all.
And the show is now 4-3 against DNR's 2-5. Sad.
Wow, we're doing damage against them. That's not what you want.
So if you follow us, 8 out of 9, you can make some money.
I got to tell you, they really bet like suckers on that show. Like they bet like, Don, remember when Michael was very into this word a few weeks ago? They bet like rubes. They just walk into the casino and go, oh, Kansas City Chiefs, they're a good football team. I'll go with the Chiefs. That's how they bet on that show.
Listen, I got one of them wrong, but that's how – I got caught up in early. There's two ways to look at picks, as a football guy or as a gambling guy. And I think sometimes when you get caught up as a football guy, like things like, well, you got to go with Kansas City. They're not going to fall to under 500. Why not? If you're not playing well, you certainly can. It ended up working out, but if you use the logic like this, well, I'm going to go with the Patriots because they're not going to go 0-5 to start the season at home. Like I said, that ended up working out. But when you're picking like that, like me, big law of averages guy, kind of looking at the football way. No, there's a gambling way. And they just haven't figured it out yet, and I'm starting to.
We should have put $10,000 apiece on the New England Patriots yesterday. I mean, that was a seven points. Guys, they could have been favored by 37 points.
Don, are you ready to, like, just run the white flag up and have somebody throw baseballs at you? I mean, would you like to be put out of your misery?
I never give up. I mean,
it might be a good time to do it.
Season left.
It might be a good time, though.
To be a quitter?
Never.
No, I mean, just, not that you quit. Because you aren't going to quit. You're going to get your punishment. Do you just want to get it and not have to put yourself through it?
I mean, you're saying a lot of words, but what you're saying is you want me to quit.
No, because quitting would mean that you'd quit and you'd walk away and you wouldn't get your punishment. If you get your punishment, you didn't quit. You just said, okay, that's it.
Am I resigned to the fact that I'm probably going to finish in third? It's getting to that point, but I still can turn this around.
All right. Okay.
Do you think you guys are going to go 3-0 every week? And I don't have to win the thing. I just have to finish in second to avoid getting hit by I assume it'll be tennis balls. It's not going to be actual baseballs. So
get me help.
We got 17 weeks here, gentlemen.
All right.
Right?
No. Even more than that in playoffs too.
A lot of.
Yeah, playoffs, and there's a lot of things that can happen here.
Sure.
So I'm not going to give up. Well, I'm not going to give up.
One thing that we can pretty much guarantee is the Jets will not be involved in the playoffs. They are really, even with Zach Wilson, an unwatchable product. And what's particularly alarming about what happened yesterday is that they had a long time to prepare. And they got embarrassed. They got outcoached. They got embarrassed. And they never really had a chance. They're the first team to go scoreless in the first quarter of the first seven games of a season since the Lions team that went winless. Now, the Jets have a win, amazingly, against Tennessee, but they do have a win. So that's not going to happen. But now Wilson's out, they say, for 2 to 4 weeks. And if you're the Jets, you bet 4 because that's just the way they roll. And now without Wilson playing, you have a backup quarterback who had never played in the NFL before. And we'll ask Robert Saleh about that, too, the thought process of having a neophyte quarterback, a noob, so to speak, and not have an experienced backup. It's somewhat curious, so I'd like to know the thinking behind that. But Wilson gets hurt. They bring in White. He was okay. They didn't lose because of him. The defense was a sieve. Do you realize that they don't have an interception? They have an interception.
Only team in the NFL.
In seven games, in six games, they don't have an interception. It's shocking. And this is a defensive guy.
Well, this is where we have to, we spent the entire preseason and so far through the first six games that they played, 7 weeks of the season, analyzing the quarterback and where we stand with the quarterback. We have to now direct our attention, and we'll have to for maybe the next month without Wilson, is, all right, do they have good enough coaching? Saleh has no experience as a head coach, all right? They didn't bring somebody in with experience. They brought in a guy that was a defensive coordinator and a darn good one. But head coaching is a completely different level. And LaFleur, who's very young and inexperienced as well. And we all took it as we love Saleh. Look at the job he did in San Francisco. Look at the lineage of the LaFleur family. Look how great his brother's doing in Green Bay. And we just took it as this is the right direction because we believed in Joe Douglas. They finally bring in their guy, and anything is going to be great after what happened with Gase. But now we need to analyze, do they have the right coach? Now, it's too early to say yay or nay, but right now it doesn't look great. They have not been able to crack the code on the first quarter. It's been a problem every single week. Every single week we talk to Robert Saleh about it. Every single week he says that they're working on it, and it gets worse and worse. Outscored 44-0 in the first quarter. And the defense continues to get worse. It was a pleasant surprise early. Now they're getting absolutely shredded week after week. That's the most points the Jets have given up since September 9th, 1979. It's the first time they've allowed 50 or more points since 1995. So what's going on?
And this is not a great Patriot team.
No, it's not a great Patriot team. And it wasn't a great Falcon team 2 weeks ago. I mean, have they really played? I mean, just off the top of my head, like, they haven't played – you know, Green Bay or Tampa Bay. You know, have they really played somebody where, like, oh, well, you're not going to be able to stop that quarterback? So this is supposed to be a defensive coach. We compliment them in the first month of the season. The defense was playing over their skis, and now it's come back down to earth, and it's crashed back down to earth. So that's what we have to analyze, guys, not about the wins and losses. Do they have the right coach?
Well, I've never seen, in reading everything today about the Jet game, you know, I want to get all different perspectives. I've never seen the media collectively jump on a coach like they have LaFleur. In over his head, can't do the job. I mean, these are not my words. These are the words that are written by people that we respect here in New York and around the country, too. LaFleur is getting absolutely annihilated with criticism. And, you know, the whole thing was, well, we're gonna work on scoring early. You know, we'll fix that. Well, they had 2 weeks to fix it. And what they came up with, the first possession, run, no gain, run, no game, then put him into a third and long, and then minus eight. That was it. Three and out. That was it. On 2 weeks to prepare for that and script that. And that's what you got. That's not good. So I'm going to ask Saleh straight out. Do you have that belief in LaFleur? And really, the only thing that we know about LaFleur is the lineage, as Don said. Well, Don can't do a wrestling show. His brother Dave's great at it. Dave can't do this show.
No.
Don's great at it.
No, Mike Maddox couldn't win a Cy Young.
And Nick Rosenberg can't host this show, and Peter can't do what his brother does.
Right.
Just because you're related doesn't mean that you're the same level of acumen at something. It's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous selling point.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't even talk to his brother.
True.
But we took a flyer on, because, again, you were just coming off a steaming pile of dung the last couple of years with the Jets coaching. So we were just happy to see anybody, right? I mean, if you've been eating bile for a month, that Ritz cracker is going to look like it's a filet mignon, right? You're going to devour it. So I think there was a lot of – and again, Saleh kind of gives that feeling of the old Rex days, right? There's a bravado. And he's not Rex, but you know what I mean. Like, he's animate on the sidelines. He's somebody to really root for. He's a very likable guy. He talks. He's into football. And, boy, that really plays to the rah-rah crowd. And I like him. I do. And he comes on here every Monday, and he stands up for what's going on here. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's the right coach. Doesn't necessarily mean that LaFleur is the right guy. And we're still a work in progress on whether Joe Douglas is the right guy. We've seen a more of a track record with Douglas with the Jets than we've seen with LaFleur and with Saleh. But we just wanted things to get better, right, guys? Don't matter what your record is, as long as you get better every week, they've gotten worse.
Now, it's always good sport, I think you guys would agree, to check in with Greeny when the Jets really are not doing well.
He's the pulse, I would say.
Well, here's what the pulse sounded like, Peter, on his, what's the word, eponymously named show?
I don't know that word.
Yeah, well, it's something like that. Here's Greeny.
The Jets are a really, really bad idea. Like, I blame Joe Douglas, who is the general manager, and Woody Johnson, if he has any semblance of an idea of what's going on with the franchise now, which there is no evidence to conclude that he does. But the Jets are terrible in a variety of incredibly easy to foresee ways. Who was it who decided we're going to put together a rookie quarterback with zero experience who comes from a town in Utah smaller than my apartment building, who is going to come to this town and we're going to give him no backup quarterback, no veteran, bring in zero veteran presence to mentor him. We're going to hire an offensive coordinator who looks 11 and I think is actually younger than that and has no idea what he's doing, is in so far over his head, I don't even know where to begin. And a first-time head coach who also, unfortunately, looks ridiculously in over his head. And the one thing he's supposed to be, which is this incredible rah-rah motivator, the Jets look lifeless. They look hopeless, helpless, defeated, and disinterested.
Couple of things. Greeny's apartment building, I mean, makes L.A. look small. So, I mean, that's a bad comp right there. But I get what he's saying. Now, let's go to Rex Ryan, who is on with DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I'm sure he'll be measured.
He said the Jets coaching staff, Peter, is failing.
54 points? That doesn't happen anywhere. I don't understand what you have to play them twice. There's no chance you give up 54 points. And here's the scariest thing. That's off a bye week. Like, what were you doing over the bye week? Makes no sense. I've been telling you this defense is not playing well either. Like, there is no passion. There's nothing here. And we're all excited because we want to see this young quarterback play. And, well, not, hell, now he's hurt. I think agents, they put these staffs together. Robert Saleh, the agent's the one that drove it. They're the ones who got to the media and said, this is the guy we should hire. When if you look back in the numbers and all that, I mean, go ahead and do the research now. Maybe it's not as awesome of a hire as we all said it was. And then they marry this guy up, who's an unproven head coach, with an unproven coordinators, and this is kind of what you get. So it's an F for coaching. It's an F for playing. It's an F for passion. It's an F for effort. It's an F for everything.
Really strong. And I mean, that's the first time I've heard somebody take a shot at Saleh. What Rex is saying, if you take a deeper look, maybe he was not the guy to hire. I don't know what deeper look he could do. His 49er teams played very well, even through injuries.
I'm not ready to come to any conclusions, guys. Because remember, there was a completely different vibe after the Tennessee win. I didn't hear Greeny or Rex or anybody killing the coaching or killing the franchise or killing the idea of what they put together off that Tennessee win. Because then it was all, well, look how they played in the second half against the Panthers, and look how they played this game and that game. There was a general feeling like they were moving in the right direction. Now, that's completely fallen apart. I just think we need to pay more attention to what's going on here. I don't want to conclude they made a mistake. I don't want to conclude that they're ill-conceived. I don't want to conclude that it's an experiment gone bad, but I think we need to pay attention to it and really analyze it.
It is really interesting when they say they don't have any whenever you make this criticism, they have no veteran presence to help Wilson. And then they talk about the coach who tragically lost his life in a biking accident that was supposed to be that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, then why didn't you replace him? You just sat back and go, okay, that was our plan. There's no plan B. Now, you don't plan for a coach losing his life in that kind of way. But, I mean, you do have to react to that loss. You can't let a neophyte quarterback just be coached by a neophyte offensive coordinator. Well,
now, they did replace him. Matt Kavanaugh is now the quarterback's coach. So it's not a vacant position. It may not be the guy that they wanted. And Josh Johnson was on the practice squad. So was he not as good as White? Like, so they could have had a veteran presence backing him up. They chose not to. See, that's what we got to get to the bottom of. It wasn't like there was nobody there. Matter of fact, the guy that was beating them for touchdowns in the second half of the game yesterday was in their room. Hoyer was in their facility. They didn't want him. So that's the one thing I will completely jump them on, and it's not even a work in progress, how they did not have a veteran to come into games or to just mentor this kid is beyond me.
And the word I was looking for, thanks to our followers on Twitter, is eponymous.
Eponymous.
Listen, named after yourself.
You could be making that up. I wouldn't know.
Well, now you know.
Animal, a hippopotamus.
No, eponymous. Also, the Manning cast returns tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And you see the guests they have?
Oh, dear God.
Let me guess. Iron Mike Tyson.
No, better.
The Prince of Wales.
No, better.
Barack Obama.
I think better.
What?
There's four people. All right? You don't have them in front, right?
I do have them in front of me.
No, but Peter doesn't.
I do not.
All right. No offense to Sue Bird, I will rank her as fourth.
Okay.
Okay.
But no offense.
No, but you got to rank
them. She's one of the great winners of all time.
You got to rank them, all right? I will say this. Marshawn Lynch is third.
Yeah.
Okay, and so then there's a one and two ahead
of Marshawn. Guess one is Marshawn Lynch. Guess two, you have to guess. Okay. Guess three is Sue Bird. Guess four, you have to guess.
Are they in football?
Yes.
Oh, they're all football?
Yes, except for Sue Bird.
What's the football game tonight again?
Saint Seahawks.
Drew Brees.
That's guess four, yes.
Nice! Okay.
He's done a good job with his hair, too.
Drew Brees. And is the other one a current player?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Been for a while.
How about Mr. Tom Brady?
Yeah, guess two.
Wow.
Tom Brady, yeah.
So now, I really meant no offense. Sue Bird is ranked fourth, and I think Lynch is ranked third. Maybe if you want to say Breeze is third, just because Lynch may say something ridiculous.
Well, Marshawn will be funnier for sure. I mean, yeah. he'll be the highlight.
I think Brady seems like he has a penchant to
really
say dumb stuff.
Brady and Manning.
Is that right?
Brady and Manning talking trash to each other will be great.
I tell you, you know where they needed the Manning cast was last night. That might have been the first time that I could remember that I didn't even check the score of that game.
Don,
I was completely out on that game.
Don, I did not. I checked the score by accident when I was looking up NBA scores.
Who's this?
But it wasn't with the lineup on HBO last night. You had Succession, Insecure, Curb Your Enthusiasm, all premiering last night, or actually it was episode 2 of Succession. I didn't even consider that. What a weak game that was
Sunday night. Just to close my eyes and rest was a better option.
I mean, yeah.
That was a tough – Michael, that was a tough Sunday night.
I watched the whole game and got the coach's tape this morning and went through that.
Wow. The all 22?
If you want to talk that game, I could talk that game. Wentz was amazing. Garoppolo might not start next week. It was so bad. I watched the whole thing through the rain.
You know what? The fact that you said it rained is the first time I found that.
I didn't know that.
It was pouring.
I found out
pouring,
the score.
Pouring, driving rain.
Just that would have actually made it a little bit more interesting to watch.
Well, why don't you hit Channel 4? I mean,
I usually do.
You're not doing the show the right way then.
I don't know. I don't think we're doing the show the right way if we're doing a deep dive on that game.
No, not deep dive, but I have to have the information available if somebody wants to talk about it. You guys don't.
No, well,
that's all right,
won.
I'll take it.
I know who won. I found it out when I was eating my Raisin Bran this morning.
Read in the paper. Right at the old box store.
Do you go the bran because it makes you regular, or you like the taste of Raisin Bran?
No, I like it. I get the Raisin Bran Crunch, really good.
By the way, be careful with those like Raisin Bran Crunches. Look at what the calories are in there. It's probably insane. I have a cereal in my cupboard right here. Looks like a healthy cereal. But it's 9 Weight Watchers points in a bowl of
guys,
cereal.
Guys, I'm not counting calories. Maybe I should. But it was either that or Pop-Tarts. I think I made the right decision.
No. Don, you did a great job.
My kids eat Pop-Tarts like they're Tic Tacs. It's unbelievable.
You guys keep Pop-Tarts in the house?
Well, we don't, because you buy a box, they're gone. They don't eat them for breakfast. They eat them constantly.
Well, by the way, the box that's got the 4 boxes inside. Like, yeah. That's how much we get.
Yeah.
Wait.
And they're gone.
I can't believe in 2021 you guys are doing this. You guys are all animals.
What are you really? Are they about? Still making these things? They're still making them, and then people are still eating them.
I guess you're right, but I just can't fathom. I have such bad food in my house, such unappetizing, no snack deliciousness in my house. The idea of a box of pastries, it would be like keeping just Dunkin' Donuts on my table.
They're not for me.
Who are they for?
Well, I eat them.
Okay.
So the hypodermic needles with heroin in it's a bad idea lying around the house?
You might as well. You're one notch away.
But Peter's going to find out. Like, you know, everybody wants to be like, I want the kids to have a square meal.
Everybody wants to be Robert Young. Okay. Yeah. You just want him to shut up. That's
right.
What you want.
Kids screaming that they want a chocolate donut, screaming at the top of their lungs they want a chocolate donut.
And all you want to do is have silence. That's
right.
All you want to do.
And really, and if you were on the 30th floor, you'd think of jumping out as an option.
And then
you'd
you start
surprised.
To think, you know what? When all of this kicks in health-wise, we're not going to be here. They're going to have to deal with it. They're the ones doing it to themselves. These are the things you come to grips with after a while.
The question you have to look back at is, when did they first find out what a chocolate donut even was?
Well, I don't eat donuts.
That's on you.
I don't eat donuts.
So how did they know that a Pop-Tart was delicious?
You're trying to get them to eat something. All Callie eats every day is toast with Nutella on it. You got to give us some kind of variety.
See, it's so easy from afar. You do realize it borders on a hunger strike.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
not going to eat. Unless they eat what they get, what they want, they won't eat it.
I gave up, Don. I don't know if you've at that point yet. We gave up.
Well, but Peter could be like, oh, well, why are they eating?
I'm not judging.
Is.
I know
I don't
it's
know
very
where
hard.
They find anything
if they
anything
want to take
out.
A gallon of Hawaiian punch and pour it down their gullet, let them do it. Really,
listen,
I'm done.
Marco was down. We were in the basement on Saturday. I had to print some things out for the game that I was doing Saturday. So it was Friday night, and so he grabbed the microphone, started like making up his own song. And I got it on video. I'll send it to you guys. He's singing the song. And then at the end of the song, he drops the mic. It says, good night. Drive home safely. Why?
Oh.
How would he know to say that?
Wait,
how
wow.
would he know?
He said, drive home safely.
Drive home safely.
You know how he knew? You know how he knew? Because it's in the inside of a Pop-Tarts bar. Pop-Tarts box.
I don't know where they found out about the chocolate donuts Pop-Tarts and all that.
I picked up Charlie at a play date on Saturday, right? I'm talking to the mom. Lovely lady. She has 3 kids. She said, what time do you kids go to bed? I said, on the weekends? She said, yeah. I said, anywhere from midnight to 1. And she almost passed out. She says, what? I said, yeah, there's no school the next day. She said, but my kids go to bed at 8. I said, well, you know what? You want to take care of my kids?
And you know what? 20 years
from now.
The
fight that you have with these children to go to bed, it's not worth it. Stay up as long as you want.
Andrew, can I ask you a question? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm wondering if this is maybe an age thing, meaning Michael and Don don't have the energy for the fight. Are your kids smoking cigars and eating Pop-Tarts as well? Take us through this.
I'll say that, look, I don't want to judge anybody's parenting. I feel bad doing that. To hear Michael say that his kids are going to bed around 1 a.m., that is jarring to hear. I'll say that.
In a word?
It's a little troubling.
That was to me, too. But I don't know. They're not they're not of their age.
Well, they
yet.
Go to bed at like 9:30 from school nights. They function. They get up. They're not yawning.
And guess what? All of our kids have the same odds of going on a killing spree in 20 years. So what does it matter? Right, the odds are the same. Because all I know is when they end up interviewing the incarcerated person, they'll still talk about how great their childhood was. So we're doing the best we can, okay?
We're trying.
I appreciate it.
You know what? They're not going to arrest us for not trying.
I got to tell you.
We're trying. But I have officially given up.
It's like judging the Jets this season, right? It's not about wins and losses. It's just, you know what? Did they wake up the next day? Are they still alive? If they're still alive, then we're good.
You did good. You did good.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's the kind of service you get.
Sure.
Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Robert Saleh might not be in a joking mood about children. He's got nine of them. He's got nine kids, Don. Can you imagine having nine? I can't imagine having three.
No.
He has nine children.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he's still going to have more.
I don't want to blame them for the loss, but how can you concentrate on football with nine kids at home? It's impossible.
Well, I mean, Adam Gase didn't know where the kids were. He didn't know where they were on Thanksgiving. Right. That's how a lot of coaches roll.
He might as well have went to Thanksgiving because it didn't make his job any better.
Let's take a brief timeout. We'll talk to Robert Saleh in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. Pop-Tots Bar.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, it's game time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We have a Monday nighter tonight. New Orleans in Seattle to meet the Seahawks. New Orleans 3-2. Seahawks 2-4. That'll be on ESPN at 8:15. You have the Madden cast on ESPN2. And then right here on 98.7 ESPN, the Rangers at home against the Calgary Flames after a very, very, very successful road trip where they didn't lose. All they did was win, 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 and win no matter what. So that's a 6:30 pregame, and, of course, game time is at 7. That's game time brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Also, the Wizards are in Brooklyn to meet the Nets. So you got all that? Good.
Yep.
All right, the Giants win, and I say it's a critical game for Joe Judge because he's matched up against Matt Rhule. Now, if you remember, the Giants wanted Matt Rhule. That was their guy. That was the guy they wanted to hire. Now, the owner of the Panthers, I think his name is Tepper, David Tepper, waited actually in the driveway for the Rhules to get back from a vacation so he could talk to him right away. So also offered him a truckload of money. While the Giants loved Rhule, I know they didn't want to match Rhule's contract that was offered to him by Carolina. They also really were impressed by Joe Judge. He kind of blew them away in his interview. Well, strangely enough, they hire Judge. Carolina hires Rhule. Here they are meeting yesterday in a game that both teams needed. And the Giants defense kind of embarrassed and undressed Carolina. Sent Sam Darnold to the bench in the fourth quarter. And now both Rhule and Judge, Don and Peter, have the exact same record in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So I think that meant a lot for the Giants and for Joe Judge against the guy that the Giants initially wanted, didn't want to match the money from Carolina, and they did love Joe Judge. Well, now Joe Judge beat him decisively, and I thought Daniel Jones took another step forward. He threw the ball. He ran the ball. He caught the ball. Mm-hmm. He did everything. I think Logan Ryan said he was QB1, RB1, and wide receiver 1. This guy's an athlete, and the Giants won the game 25-3, a game that they really needed.
Yeah, they needed, but it's so easy to look at the final score and think everything was perfect and went swimmingly. It didn't. I mean, this is a team that was up 5-3 at the half.
Who was pitching?
Yeah, right? It had that weird feel like this could be a strange final score here whenever you see those safeties. And the defense played well pretty much the entire game. Still allowed, you know, too many third down conversions on that first drive where Carolina settled for the field goal. And then that was pretty much it. They stiffened and they were great. But the offense, in that first half, they got great field position. They drove to midfield, and then it was the same mistakes. It would be a delay. It would be a false start. It would be a legal man downfield. And it was the same old Giants making mistakes and not capitalizing on a Carolina team that was begging to get killed. And then finally in the second half, they opened it up, and they were able to score and put the game away. So you see, when the Giants play mistake-free, they can dance. They can play. It's just that it's frustrating sometimes, the mistakes that they make. And when they make the mistake, they're just devastating. They kill drives. So second half, they figured it out. They won a game they absolutely had to have. But the schedule doesn't work out for them to be able to turn it around. I think they're catching Kansas City at a bad time. Some might say good time because of the way the Chiefs are playing. But I don't know. That team's eventually going to figure it out, but still.
Do we know the
kind of save their season for a week?
Do we know the Mahomes situation yet?
Not yet. We do know that Devontae Adams of the Packers has just been put on the COVID list, so he's out. But we have not seen yet about Mahomes.
Now, how did you feel about how they utilized Jones? Because I liked it. It just shows you how athletic it could be. But, boy, did they put him in some tough spots, right? I mean, that was a great one-handed catch, but he got mashed when he was taken down there.
Don, I got to tell you, I thought that was so stupid.
Well, it's stupid from the standpoint of trying to keep your quarterback upright, but it just shows you the things you can do with him. But long-term
– Well, I just mean 2 weeks out from him getting just absolutely obliterated, it's like – week after week, they continue to say, like, nah, you're fine. And I just don't know why that's the attitude.
Oh, by the way, Peter, Ian Rappaport reporting that Andy Reid told reporters that Mahomes cleared the concussion protocol.
They said
so
that.
So Reid called the coach's decision to hold him out.
Yeah, can you guys believe that he cleared a protocol yesterday to return? Did you see that hit? Did you see him trying to get up from that?
Well, I mean, we look at Daniel Jones, looked like he was going to be out a couple of weeks. He was there the next, next week. So I don't know,
man. For all we hear about just how stringent they are now, they never let anyone play. No, they protect quarterbacks. They run commercials to tell you how much they protect quarterbacks. Between the Daniel Jones hit and him being ready to go by Wednesday and Patrick Mahomes being cleared during the game yesterday, did you guys see the actual clip of him getting off the turf?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I cannot believe it's possible he was cleared yesterday. Well, that should be an instant, not even an option to be cleared yesterday.
Well, I'm not a doctor to know what protocols they go through, but I guess you're criticizing the protocols because if he passes the protocol.
That's exactly it. I think we need to stop just assuming, oh, of course they're doing the right thing. They have such eyeballs on them. There's so much scrutiny. There's no way the NFL would still make the wrong decisions. When I hear that Patrick Mahomes got cleared yesterday, that says to me the whole thing is fugazi.
Well, DiPietro was saying today on DiPietro and Rothenberg that today's athletes can clear concussion protocol even if they're concussed. They learn how to do it.
So, yeah, you'd like to see a little bit more protection, in my opinion, Don, of Jones. But, listen, they got what they needed from him yesterday.
I mean, the first play from scrimmage was an option read.
Yeah.
He just took the ball and ran, yeah.
I love it, you know, because they've got to do everything they can do. And I'm not even worried about the concussion. He's 2 weeks removed from it and all that. It's just that the whole idea in this league is to be able to keep your quarterback healthy. That's just the way that it is. In a salary cap era, your season's over if you lose your starting quarterback most times. So do you really want to live and die every game by coming up with these gadget plays that are getting him laid out? Now, they have to do it because they're so banged up and the offensive line's a mess and they lost another offensive lineman yesterday. They're guys are playing that were on the practice squad like 5 minutes ago. So you do what you got to do to get through, but at some point they've got to get away from this because he's their quarterback. And I like it. I like the way he's playing. I don't think he's ever going to be elite, guys. He's never going to be the top five quarterback in the league. But could he be Eli Manning? Could he be a really good quarterback and then maybe find himself in the playoffs and make some big plays? I see some things there. And if he ends up being like the seventh or eighth best quarterback in the NFL, that's not – you could still win that way.
I like that this team bounced back, particularly after that goal line stand that they failed on in the first quarter.
Oh, that was
nasty. And
one of the things is that it seems like Garrett is unimaginative. And then, from midfield, he does the Pettis to Jones throw. I don't know if you guys saw the whole thing. Jones really took a hit after he grabbed the ball one-handed. You do have to protect him a little bit,
Well, that's
man.
What I'm saying, that those are all nice and wonderful plays. And I'm looking on Twitter, and the Giants are, tweeting out a distant picture of the shot. And are like, if we get 500 likes – the more than 500 will show you a closer picture. Like they're all in on it. They love it. It was a great play. It's a highlight maker. But Michael's right. He got hit pretty hard at the end of that play.
That was the only thing. Everyone was focused on how good a catch it was.
Yeah, it was.
All I saw was how hard he got knocked to the ground.
And so you're going to have to make a decision at the end of this year whether you're going to be investing that fifth year option and he's going to be our quarterback moving forward. And Mike Tannenbaum said on many occasions there's really not a quarterback at least right now. In this upcoming draft that you're going to go crazy to go take really high. So they're probably going to be in a position where they're going to be committed to Daniel Jones long term. Well, act like it. So those plays are meaningful in a championship game. Those plays are really mean. But when you're 1-5 and you're trying to make a decision on your quarterback, yeah, do everything you can to win games, but just make sure your quarterback stays upright, especially 2 weeks removed from a concussion.
Yeah, it seemed like they're short so many offensive weapons because of injuries that they turned him into all of those weapons. And, you know, you look at Lamar Jackson, you know, he runs a lot, okay, but he has this ability not to take really hard hits. Daniel Jones gets hit, man.
He does.
He gets hit hard.
Don, I mean, Michael, it's like he has the anti-Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Like, Lamar somehow can run up the middle and rolls off hits in a way where he never seems like he's getting punished. Jones doesn't run nearly as much as Lamar, and it feels like every hit has the maximum impact. It scares you, but he is talented, and he does do some different things. It's an interesting skill set. His combo's definitely
– Yeah.
He's not a run-first guy, and yet he's not a dominant pocket quarterback. He really has an interesting balance.
Yeah, I'm trying to compare him to somebody, right? Because you got guys like Matt Ryan, they just do not run with the ball. He can run with the ball. But he's not at the level of a Mahomes or a Jackson or even a Watson that can really make plays.
I would say he's on the level of Mahomes. He's not the thrower Mahomes is. But in terms of the willingness to take off, that's the category he's kind of ending up in.
I think Mahomes is more athletic than Jones is. But he's a nice combination. He's a lot like, well, Eli couldn't run, but he's not great at anything, but he's very good at a bunch of different things, right? So that might stop him from being one of the best quarterbacks in football, but I think he's got the skill set to win games. If they can build some things around him, then I think moving forward, they're clearly 2-5, and he's not their problem. He's not their problem, and that's a good thing.
Let's check in with the callers. We'll start it off with Keith in Las Vegas. Keith.
Hey, Michael, Don, and Peter. How you guys doing today?
Great. How about you?
Good, guys. Hey, listen, I'm going to go totally opposite of this. Being a diehard Giants fan forever, that play just seemed to energize everybody in the stadium. That play seemed to energize the defense, even though it was playing well. That play just seemed to energize everybody. And we went down and scored. And next thing you know, just the defense just put the hammer down. And I know Sam Darnold, forget it. The Panthers, I get it. But the Panthers played some pretty good teams and beat some pretty good teams early on this year. And we just did a number. And I really think that catch could energize this team going forward.
Well,
what do you think?
You know what? The catch did energize them. They scored. But at what cost? I mean, yeah, it's great. But at what cost? I mean, you're putting this guy in harm's way. Remember, 2 weeks ago, he couldn't stand up. 2 weeks ago. And now you're running him out where he really got plastered after he made the catch. Plastered. So, luckily, he didn't get hurt. So, yeah, okay, you want to motivate the team, but at what cost?
See, that's the point. You go back a couple of weeks ago to that Dallas play. Let's say he made the defender miss and scores the touchdown. Oh, I love Daniel Jones. Look at the gut. He put his head down, and he drove, and he got us the touchdown, and that was a huge play. But we don't look at it that way because he got concussed and had to leave the game, and by the grace of God, he was available last week. Now, what happens on that play? Would it be inspiring? Have you been all fired up if he didn't get up from that hit after the catch? And Glennon's now in the game the rest of the way? See, that's all I'm saying. Peter could tell you chapter and verse. RG3 lit this league up. Lit it up. But you knew all those diving plays for first downs, getting up with the dirt stuck in his face mask was going to end up costing him. And look what happened. Now you don't have a quarterback anymore. He's not on your team. Where is he even now, Peter? He was in Cleveland last year.
No, he's not playing. He's on ESPN.
Right. So he's out. That's my point, is that at the end of the day, figure it out where you're not putting your quarterback in harm's way.
Let's go to Aaron in Edison. Aaron.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Great. What's up?
Hey, so, so I just wanted to kind of vent a little bit about the Jets. I actually talked to you guys after week one, and, I talked about how, as a Jets fan, I'm not really coming into the season with high expectations. Just, get better on a weekly basis, try and compete in every game. And here we are, week seven. I mean, you guys went over the stats earlier. They've yet to score a point in the first quarter. I actually listened to the guys in the morning, and they were saying that yesterday was the first time they even completed a pass for a first down in the first quarter all season. And listen, it's ugly. It's brutal to watch. And, I like Salah. I'm definitely rooting for him. But, I mean, it boggles my mind how you can you could come out of a bye week and look like that. I mean, they just got straight embarrassed. I mean, and I know you didn't. I know you had no C.J. Mosley either, but there's no reason for every time, you know, Damian Harris runs up the middle, they part like the Red Sea. I mean, they did whatever they wanted against them yesterday. So
yeah, you know what? You know what, Aaron? Like, Mosley's important, right? And subtracting the guy with the green dot on the back of his helmet, that's big. Shouldn't be that big. Shouldn't be 54 points big. They got embarrassed. They got schooled. That was the first 300-yard game for Mac Jones this year. And he's a dink and dunk guy. They don't put him. They don't make him get huge chunks of yardage. 300 yards. It was an embarrassment. There's no other way to say it. We don't want them to be bad. They're on our station. They're terrible. Now, who's watching the Jets the next 2 weeks? Really? With Zach Wilson down.
Just the diehards that don't miss a play. But we knew going in this was just to evaluate the quarterback. I mean, nobody wants to see Mike White play. No offense to him. He's got no future with this team. So what are you doing?
Well, Coach Saleh made Mike White sound like Johnny Unitas.
I think Russ Spielman has done a tremendous job as my agent. I need Robert Saleh to be my agent. Because Robert Saleh could make when I soiled myself in Calgary, make it seem like I was a god.
All right, he was just cleaning out a system before the game.
That's what the good ones do.
In
with the good, out with the bad. That's all he was doing.
How forward thinking that is. He wasn't going to sacrifice the broadcast, so he went up into the rafters and he pooped his pants.
He was this close to being in perfect health.
Right.
You know, if he didn't go take care of his kids that day, you know, he wouldn't have gotten sick. That's what I need. We all need that.
Yeah, I don't have it. You don't have it. Peter seems like he has, you know, he's got a battery of agents.
Well, he's got his talent agent. He's got his music agent.
Right.
That's when you know you've made it, Michael, where you have to have a different agent for skill set.
No, that's not true. I have two agents, and they work together. They're in the same company.
But they're still two agents for two different skill sets. Michael doesn't have a play-by-play agent and a talk show agent.
Ballard! No, it's not Ballard. I love Ballard. I wouldn't trust him.
Can you imagine Ballard walking in and selling some? So, listen, he's really good, and
They might.
And when they say, "Well, what makes him good?" Ballard goes, "You know, listen, I don't have to have an opinion on everything."
Yeah, that's right. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save; it's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Bad performances by the Nets, the Knicks. Oh, sure. We've got a World Series matchup now. World Series starts tomorrow. A lot of stuff to talk about. According to a report in a New Jersey paper by the brilliant Bob Clappish, Garrett Cole got in Brett Gardner's face because Brett Gardner was making fun of Pine Tar.
What?
Yeah, a lot of stuff to talk about.
That's nice.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'll kill you.
Yeah, it's going to kill you.
Did he go Freddie Kitchens on him?
I don't know. I wasn't there. The first I heard of it was when I read it. Kay LeGreca Rosenberg and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London. The engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. I'll get to your phone calls, back to your phone calls in just a moment. So the Brooklyn Nets have struggled out of the gate. They've lost 2 of the first 3 games, and they play again tonight, as we mentioned, against the Wizards. And it's really just a work in progress. A lot of new players. There's no Kyrie.
No,
and there are different rules now about fouls. They're not sending people to the foul line as much because players were so adept at initiating contact and flopping down and stuff like that, even if they were on the offensive end, they were going to the foul line too much, and that was a directive from the NBA this has to stop. So I think that James Harden is still feeling his way with that because he was really good at drawing fouls. Kevin Durant's been great, but they're a work in progress, so I'm not worried about them at all. But, you know, speaking of Kyrie, I'm sure you saw this, Peter. So there was a big protest outside, about 200 people.
That. Just kidding. I didn't.
And, you know, they're storming the Barclays Center. Listen, you have every right to protest all you want. But you know who I feel sorry for? the people at the gate that are working the gates, that's not what they signed up for.
Right.
They didn't sign up for hand-to-hand combat with people. And maybe this is like being a little ridiculous and maybe too pie in the sky. Hey, Kyrie, why don't you step up and say that? There's no need for that. Because the people, the voiceless people, certainly seemed like they had a loud voice yesterday. Why doesn't Kyrie say, listen, I disassociate myself from the violence. I don't want you guys to do that.
I need to see real video and see how – I can't tell whether the people are making more out of what happened out there than not.
Like, I've seen video where they're trying to go over the barricades, and the Barclays Center had to lock the doors.
It was about 100 people, they said. So
it was a very small group.
It was a small group, but Michael's right. I mean, Kyrie can say, hey, listen, people, we don't need you to riot. And also, he could be hijacked here very easily, too. Because, you know, they said we're standing by Kyrie. Do we know exactly everything about Kyrie's stance? Because there's a lot of people out there that are making claims during those marches, and you look at their signs and some of the things that they believe that now gets attached to Kyrie. And because Kyrie doesn't speak, you know, people start to think, well, that's everything that Kyrie believes. You know, well, from all we know is Kyrie is against the mandates for people that are now going to get fired because they don't get vaccinated.
That's what I think his main thing is. Kyrie believes people should choose and not have to lose their job.
But when I see signs of the people protesting and pictures of Fauci as a donkey and all that, like, so that's not anything Kyrie said. So now they're outside the Barclays Center. They're all chanting Kyrie. And so does Kyrie want now everything that those people stand for be his message?
Let me tell you.
So Peter, he could be his opinions and his thoughts could be hijacked by somebody who doesn't think the way he thinks. That's why it's important to communicate exactly what you think and either stand up for or against or have some opinion on what's happening outside the place where you do business.
I'll tell you one thing. These issues certainly make for some interesting bedfellows. No, guys? I mean, some of the signs you saw out there yesterday and some of the people you saw. They never heard of Kyrie Irving. They never watched the Nets basketball game.
So does Kyrie want that?
I doubt it. I don't think he's going to come out and start talking and disassociating himself just because he's barely talked. But I saw some people who were decidedly with Kyrie. They're New Yorkers who are against the vaccine mandate, and they were expressing themselves. Mm-hmm. And then I saw, like all of these things, just straight-up agitators who are just going to show up and steal this entire thing. Like, I'm looking at videos right now. Some of these people are not Kyrie supporters, man. They're just there to make trouble.
But he's the theme, rightly or wrongly, of that entire protest. They're chanting his name. They're outside of the Barclays Center. So he becomes the face of this. Is that right?
Well, if he doesn't disassociate himself, he's fine with it.
But this is the negative byproduct of him not, like, speaking or communicating because, again, he doesn't want to lower himself to talk to the media. But this is ends up what happening. You get a kind of a convoluted message that's incomplete, and now people who have maybe a completely different agenda to Kyrie can now hijack, use his name, and go out there and march out there, and now it becomes Kyrie's opinion. Because I'm not sure Kyrie 100% supports everything was doing out there yesterday.
I think you'd have to be pretty stupid, though, to view this and now associate every message you saw there and say that's Kyrie's thought. Like, that's such a leap to make. I mean, we know that when Kyrie did speak on Instagram last week, it was a jumbled message. I don't think it was really clear, well put together. But we also know he clearly didn't endorse all the ideas that people were holding signs for yesterday.
But again, Peter, you're falling into the trap of not everyone is going to do the work that you do. Not everybody looks at the way you look at it. I popped it on the news. And listen, I follow this because we do sports. But not everybody knows sports. And you turn it on, and it's the lead story, and it's Kyrie this and Kyrie that. It's outside the Barclays Center. They're telling, he refuses to get vaccinated. Some of the information isn't even right. Yep. Like, it's not even being reported correctly. Like, making it seem like the NBA is refusing for him to play. That's not the case at all. Right? But the message gets lost. But that's the thing. People don't do the work. That's what they hear, and then that becomes, oh, look what Kyrie's doing. Look at what Kyrie started. So you're educated, Peter. You do the work. You take the time. But a lot of people just pop the news on like I did, don't know the story, and walk away with a completely different reality than you or I have.
Now let's move to the Knicks. The Knicks lost a game they should not have lost yesterday, and I think it's a product of what they did on Friday. Now, you all know, and I think all three of us are big Tom Thibodeau fans.
Sure.
But there's a negative about him as well. He doesn't know how to pull the plug. So they embarrassed Orlando on Friday in Orlando's home opener, where there were so many New York Knicks fans there. And they're blowing them out in the fourth quarter. And Tibbs has in Julius Randle. Why? And then Randle is going for a fast break, a breakaway basket, and he gets fouled aggressively. And then he gets upset, and he pushes the player, gets a technical, costs himself some money. Why was he in at that point? Now, I'm of the opinion, if you're going to take out your starters, you don't tell your bench players not to play. They want to score points, too. This is their reward for working hard in practice or whatever. But why is Julius Randle, who was number one in minutes played last year, why is he in there? It doesn't make sense. So the Magic took that as an affront, because athletes will do anything to motivate themselves. And they came into the Garden, and they beat the Knicks, and they overwhelmed them in the fourth quarter. That's a game the Knicks shouldn't lose. Orlando's going to be historically bad this year. And you did it because you didn't know when to call off the dogs on Friday night. At some point, Tibbs has to say, okay, that's enough. Take a seat. Don't play the fourth quarter. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. And what made yesterday startling to me, you never see a Thibodeau team outworked. You did yesterday. He takes every single game as the seventh game of the NBA Finals. They weren't ready to play. The Magic did want it more than them. They just did. They just did. Now, those are the esoteric things that went wrong yesterday. But if you want to take a deeper dive.
Go ahead.
I think they're still finding their way. There's more offensive firepower there. So R.J. Barrett doesn't know where his shot's coming from. Last year, there were two guys that were getting their shots, Randle and Barrett. Not this year. You got Fournier. You got Walker. You got Rose. You got guys that are going to want to shoot, too. So I think that he's still finding his way. And they were in it at the beginning of the fourth. But the bottom line is that Orlando, again, a bad team, just pulled away. And they even said, we didn't like the way we looked on Friday. We didn't like the way the Knicks played on Friday. Why give a team that you know you're going to play on Sunday any kind of excuse to come in and play hard? Why? Why is Julius Randle in there in a 30-point blowout? Forget about angering the other team. How about getting him hurt? Does that make sense? So that's why the Knicks fell yesterday, in my opinion. Now, they're not going to go undefeated. It would have been nice for them to start off 3-0. But these are some of the things that could go wrong. Thibodeau has to know when to take his foot off the accelerator. And that's been the knock on him all the time in Minnesota and Chicago. He plays his guys until they drop.
Yep.
Can't do it here. And it's a pretty deep team. Don't do it, especially when you're blowing somebody out.
Yeah, especially now you're going from a 72-game season to an 82-game season. You got a target on your back. You're not surprising anybody now. Playing the Knicks is completely different than it was for most of the year last year. And you're right. Listen, I wish you can go out there and go full bore, and we complain about load management and all that, but you're right. That was the knock on Tibbs, that sometimes he pushes the minutes and he works guys too hard, and it's a long, long season. Give guys a rest if you're up by that many points.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing because, you know, you start to dream the way they play. Well, maybe they'll get 3-0 because the Magic are terrible. And they lost. Cole Anthony was great. Remember, the Knicks took Obi Toppin, the pick before Cole Anthony, a kid from New York City who wanted to play for the Knicks, and he almost put up a triple-double. So what comes around goes around, or whatever the stupid saying
is. It's early.
It is early.
I mean, I was listening to Nash after the Philly game, and he said, we're still trying to work out our rotations. There's a lot of changes. Just the way the game is called, the different players that are coming in. But, God, they trailed that entire game against Philly. They could very easily still be looking for their first win. They had to come back a huge deficit in the fourth quarter to beat Philly. But it's going to take some time, and I'm sure we'll look back and go, remember when they started 1-2?
I don't have a worry about the Nets. They're too much talent, but they're in a research period.
But that's fine because it doesn't matter. They can finish as the sixth seed. They're still a team that, especially if they get Kyrie back and compete for a championship. We already know the Knicks could be better and not be a four seed. So a game like last night could be the reason why you're in the play-in instead of being a five or a six seed.
Take a brief time out. Talk some World Series. We have Steve Young coming up at 5 o'clock. Also, your phone calls as well.
Sure.
It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, 98.7 ESPN is giving away up to $2,000 every week this football season with the Pigskin Payout. Now, your faith in Gang Green and Big Blue is your ticket to cash in, so get your bets ready. Be listening in the 5 p.m. hour today for your chance to win. We're raising the stakes with DiPietro and Rothenberg's and the Michael K. Show, only on 98.7 ESPN, your home for football. And thanks to the Giants' win over the Panthers, we had another $1,000 winner this week. So there's three that we've had, three $1,000 winners. I think this week's winner was Jack Watson, remember, from Verona, New Jersey, I'm sorry. Oh, he's with us, so Jack is with us. Oh, hey, yeah. Jack, congratulations, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. What's up?
When did you know you had it in the bag?
Right after that Daniel Jones catch, I was starting to feel real good about the game.
So what are you going to do with the money?
I think I might just save it, honestly. My wife and I are saving up for a house, so I'm trying to be responsible here.
You know, it's boring, but it's the right thing to do.
That's right.
Well, we're thrilled that we could give you this money, Jack. We're glad that you listen to the show and you get an opportunity to win some cash. That's great, and good luck with the house whenever you buy it, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. That's great.
That's awesome.
Is great stuff. I love it. $1,000.
So we've had three winners.
Three.
Look at that. Look what we do. By the way, I forgot to tell you this, Michael. I think you'll be excited to know.
Yeah.
Got the booster today.
Now, how do you qualify for a booster? You're a Johnson & Johnson boy, right?
That's not a nickname I've ever had before, but I actually believe that's exactly how I qualify.
Okay.
I think J&J people, because we got a single dose and people think that
and really no protection at all.
Well, at this point, reportedly not much protection, that I think anyone who got that qualifies. So I just made an appointment at CVS and I went and got it. And I got the flu shot at the same time. So let's see if I'm standing up tomorrow, but that was the plan today.
I had the flu shot. Didn't bother me at all. So we'll see. I don't know how the booster affects you.
And also the booster's weird, though, because this is my second shot. Did your second shot affect you?
Oh, yeah. Like I was hit by a truck.
Really?
Yep.
Don, you?
I was very fortunate. I had Pfizer and nothing on either one.
I had Pfizer and the second shot knocked me back. You got a booster, too.
Yeah.
I did that effect.
And the Pfizer did nothing, Don? The booster, Don?
Nothing. My flu shot did nothing. I even got a pneumonia shot, nothing.
Look at you.
No,
I'm thinking of getting a shingle shot.
Last year I got that shingle shot, and that was rough.
Yeah, I don't know if I could risk it.
I mean, I worked it. I mean, I worked through it.
Of course you did.
But no, I felt like garbage.
Well, why is shingles so in right now?
Because it's such a terrible thing to get. It's so debilitating and painful that they've developed the shot that you don't get it. Anyone over 50 is supposed to get it.
Were people getting shingles that often?
Yeah. Ask Keith Olbermann. Said it's the worst thing he's ever felt. He said, no. If he knew to not get shingles, he'd have to have a shot in the eyeball, he would do that.
Isn't there a deal with shingles, though, that, like, if you had chicken pox, it's one thing, and if you didn't have chicken pox, it's another thing?
I don't know. I don't.
Well,
I
had chicken pox, so.
You had chicken pox, and
I never had shingles, but I got the vaccine. And I don't know if you, I always think of Michael when I hear this phrase.
Go ahead.
I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, is there anything that Michael wouldn't wish on his worst enemy? Like shingles, would you not wish that on your worst enemy? You absolutely would.
Michael would wish it on his 100th worst enemy.
I don't like enemies. So Bob Clappish is a great baseball columnist for the Newark Star-Ledger. I think it's NJ.com. And he wrote a column about how the Yankees should bring in either a David Cohn or a CC Sabathia, so you have someone that's on the same level as a Gerrit Cole to deal with him. You know, not about arm angle and pitch sequencing, but rather about this is what I did when I got in trouble to get out of things, you know, that sort of stuff. And in this long column, he also had that Gerrit Cole really jumped Brett Gardner the day that the Major League Baseball said they were going to stop with the sticky stuff. Gardner put like a whole mess of pine tar on his hat and was parading around the clubhouse. And I guess, according to Bob, Cole didn't like it and got right in his face. Right in his face. And then like a couple of days later, he apologized. So that's kind of interesting. Bob also reported today that a member of Anthony Rizzo's family, very close to Rizzo, says that Rizzo desperately wants to re-sign with the Yankees. And the other thing was that Joey Gallo lays out his uniform in front of his locker and puts it on and off a couple of times. And like Gallo saw that and he tweeted out, this is pretty funny that Gallo would even address it, that, but it obviously bothered him a lot that this was reported. He writes, me, literally gets dressed, media. Yep, that's why he sucks. And that Bob didn't say that at all. He just, he was kind of saying that, Gallo might be a little bit quirky, but Gallo took it that next step. So we'll see if that has any effect.
Just information.
Yeah. I mean, it's quirky. It doesn't mean that that's why he hit 160. It's just, if you had that information, would you write it? Yeah, you probably would.
You know, like Wade Boggs' obsession with chicken. Like, he ate a lot of chicken, right? There's always.
That's all he ate.
Yeah, there's always a little quirky. No, I don't think he got sensitive much.
And then
he needs to be in Cincinnati in the worst way.
We have a World Series, and I think it's kind of interesting. The Astros against the Braves. And how about this? So the Dodgers lose. I don't know if you saw this, Don. So now it still remains the 98, 99, 2000 Yankees are the last team to repeat in baseball. Shows you how hard it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the longest stretch in any of the four major sports in the history of these sports that a team has not repeated.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing stat?
Wait, say it one more time.
This is the longest stretch in any of the four major sports that a team has not repeated as champion in that stretch of time. So the last one was the Yankees in 2000, so it's been 21 years now.
Yeah, crazy, because hockey, the Penguins in 16 and 17.
Yeah. Basketball, Lakers, right?
No. No, Warriors. Not Lakers. Warriors.
Yep. Warriors. And then the Patriots in the NFL. All fairly recent, so that is really interesting. And I don't know, I guess this may annoy, because I guess Reds, Yankee universe is rooting for the Braves, obviously.
Right.
But I really don't care. The only thing that makes me kind of want to care is I'd love to see Dusty get a World Series ring.
And I think a lot of people will watch because of that, because Dusty's so beloved. Another interesting stat, in the 21 years, 15 teams have won a World Series. And the only team that's repeated is the Red Sox. And that's not back-to-back repeat, but had multiple championships in that 20-year stretch. 15 different – I mean, you want parity? You got parity.
Yeah.
And then people get all upset that people don't make the – it's hard to win the World Series.
Well, especially with adding the extra round, it's hard. It is. The Dodgers are a great example of just – they were the second-best team in baseball, 106 wins. and they were able to get through the wild card, beat the team with the best record, and then you just run out of gas.
You know what? They did it to themselves, too. They should never have closed with Scherzer. And then he didn't have it after that. You're asking people to do things that they've never done. You baby them all year. Right. And it's like the old Jabba rules. Well, the rules go out the window when the postseason happens. Well, why? You babied the guy the whole year, and then you're going to ask him to do things that he hasn't been able to do. You did it with Urias, and you did it with Max Scherzer, and that's why you ended up losing. You didn't have enough pitching. And also the injuries. Obviously the injuries, but you know the Astros have had injuries. Nobody's had more injuries than the Braves. It's kind of weird.
It worked. It worked in that Giant game, right? Because Scherzer came in, closed it out. So we looked at it and all right, it worked. The plan worked. They won Game 5. They moved on. But with a 2-0 lead in the ninth, could they have won without having to do it?
I think they could have.
You know, so would it have been worth a try to at least start the inning with somebody else? But then if you do that and then you'll blow it, you can't kill them. They designed it that way. You could say they shouldn't have designed it that way, but once they got to the ninth inning and Scherzer closed it out, it looked like they did the right thing. But it just didn't work out, but it's hard.
And one more stat that I thought was amazing. The Braves now are the team that went the deepest into the season before they first moved over 500. 111 games before they moved over 500. No team in a World Series has ever gone that long. A lot of people think the 73 Mets. But the 73 Mets started off 4-0.
Yeah,
the Braves were never over 500 until the 111th game of the season.
Well, this team, you know, Peter will remember, reminds me a lot of that Nationals team. That Nationals team figured it out late, too.
Mm-hmm.
They were awful to start the season.
It was basically the second half. It was basically from the All-Star break on that they just became a different team.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We get to talk to Steve Young next, which is always fun. We've got some things to ask him about. So stay tuned. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, here's your shot to qualify for the Week 8 Pigskin Payout. It's your chance to play in the 98.7 Sportsbook and win $250. Or up to $2,000 or $1,000 for correctly picking the Jets and the Cincinnati Bengals game. Jets are currently plus 9.5. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to qualify. We'll be selecting our winners this Friday, so keep it locked in to DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael Kay Show for your pigskin payout.
Wow. So at home against Cincinnati, they're getting 9.
Wow.
It's not what you want.
Well, listen, Steve said it. Cincinnati can win that division.
I thought it was a great pick by me.
Your pick of the year.
Best pick of the year. I mean, listen, I'm still dominating you.
How are you doing against Don?
Well, worse than that. More than dominating.
Well, listen, if we're going to start handing out awards at halftime, or I should say late second quarter, then let's do it.
Why don't we do that? Peter, you want that award?
No, seriously.
Well, listen, the reason I didn't bring you up is I have no interest in showing you up because you're not the kind of guy who hangs on the rim when you win.
Thank you.
Michael, on the other hand, is.
Complete opposite.
So don't you think, Don, I'm doing the right thing? I don't know if I'm going to win or lose, but until then, shouldn't I rub it in his face every week?
Because number one.
Let's be honest, Don.
Everybody do you. That's what it's about.
But Don, admit it. Just tell me if I'm right here. Michael was feeling so good yesterday. And he was like, finally, I'm going to grab 6 points here.
Yeah.
I'm going to come in Monday. How much did it kill him that on a week when he came up
huge,
I went perfect also?
I don't really care that much about you, to tell you the truth.
Don, do you believe it?
Not at all. I think all the hanging on the rim comes from just how much you are in his head.
Oh, all right. Well, can we go to the phones, please?
Do it. Sure.
Please. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you have to feel pretty good about the way the Jets are playing.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely heading in the right direction. I tell you, it's unbelievable. It took me over 5 hours to get home from up there last night. The traffic was insane. And the whole time after Greg and Dan got off, I'm listening. I'm just talking to myself. I said, what in the world am I doing?
There you go.
You know how I feel about the new organization. It's insanity. I mean, what the product that they put on the field yesterday is so – it's mind-blowing. You have 2 weeks to prepare. Could you imagine if you three guys had 2 weeks off and you had to prepare for a show and you put up a show like these guys did yesterday, you get fired.
Yeah.
It's amazing. This
is a really important. Anthony, can you get the breaking news music here? This is a big day. I've never heard this from Ira. Ira, you sound close to breaking right now.
Well, you know what? I have to really rethink what's going on. I'm always going to love this team. I'm going to support them. But I got to rethink what I'm doing because it makes no sense to go to these games. The hassle with the COVID, with the traveling, the expenses, it just makes no sense. And then you go out there, Mike White looked better than Wilson did. Because he was more comfortable in the offense. What the coaching staff is clueless right now. And that's really bad because all the good feeling about the hire and drafting Wilson and Douglas was the CEO that's going to run this corporation, and it's going backwards from week one to week six to the sixth game. They've regressed.
So I hope they're happy.
What's going to make me think anything's going to get better for the rest of the year?
I really hope the Jets are happy. I hope they're listening in their offices right now because they did it. They did. I'm going to show my age right now, but there was a toy when Michael and I were younger called a Weeble Wobble. And the tag phrase was, a Weeble Wobble, they wobble, but they don't fall down. And the Jets got the Weeble Wobble to fall down. I hope they're happy. The one guy they had on the hook, the guy that gave everything financially, emotionally to this franchise.
Physically.
Congratulations, Jets. You broke him. You broke him. I hope you're happy. He's a good person, and he's broken. This isn't for fun. Peter's making jokes, but I've known you for 20 years. I want to cry for you because this is what they get. This is what they give you. I hope they're satisfied. I hope they're happy.
They broke the man. Michael, do you hear
this?
They
broke the unbreakable.
I'm stunned. I mean, when you lose Ira. Who do you have? Who's going to the Bengal game this week other than to see Joe Burrow? You want to sit in five-hour traffic? I mean, they're our partner and everything. They're on the air, but we got to tell the truth. I know this is a rebuild, but it's one rebuild after another rebuild after another rebuild. How much can fans take?
And all of these resets, like you want to have faith that eventually they're going to get it right. That's all you have to go on. Is just, well, they can't continue to screw it up. So here we are sitting here entering week 8. We don't know about the quarterback. We don't know about the coach. We don't know about the offensive coordinator. We don't know about the GM. That's all it's ever been. And I really feel bad. It's not joking around because we get to do our show and we move on. But a guy like Ira, this is his life.
You know what, though, Don? I'm happy for Ira. It's like a friend who's been in a miserable relationship for so long, and it's been years, and they've just settled in, and you're like, well, that's it. They're just never going to be happy. And then one day the friend says to you, you know what? I wonder if I could be happy without her. And you go, wow, maybe there's hope. Maybe there's hope for Ira. He could get his Sundays back. He's been throwing them away for years.
Yeah, but here's the deal, Peter. He's not gonna date somebody else.
No.
So now his Sundays are empty.
Well, he does have a family.
I understand, but this was all part of his Sunday. You've taken it away from him. This isn't like the guy who broke up about it after a terrible relationship probably gets another relationship.
Right.
He's not going to root for the Giants. Not that that's a great respite.
No, but like we talk about like who's like the worst organization. Like nobody can beat Detroit. They've got it covered. I mean, one playoff win in 50 years. Forget it. They own it.
Although Mrs. Ford, though.
But, yeah.
Oh,
well,
smoke show.
But, like, Cincinnati's starting to figure it out. And at least Cincinnati could say, you know, we've gone to a couple of Super Bowls.
Cleveland's playing great.
Cleveland's playing better. You know, they've got a quarterback. They feel like they're moving in the right direction, right coach. You know, and the second you feel a little bit good, 9-10, when they went to back-to-back championship games, but that turned out to be fool's gold. And then how many times have they hit the reset button in the last decade? Third franchise quarterback, third general manager, third head coach, and keep trying. And listen, I don't want to throw it all away. We're only 6 weeks into this thing.
Well,
but the feeling would be that each week you'd get a little bit better and a little bit better, and it just gets worse.
Did you guys see Alan Hahn's tweet yesterday?
I did not.
He says, when you're a Jets fan, the Red Zone channel feels like a neighborhood party you're never invited to and yet can see from your window.
It's so true. There's nothing worse, and Peter can really relate to this too, when it feels like the league's got to figure it out and you don't. It's just you're watching the quarterback play and you're watching teams move down the field, and it just and it looks so easy, so effortless. And then you watch your team, and it just they can't do it.
Not my team yesterday, Don. We spent the entire day in the red zone, just didn't score.
Right. Well, now you sound like Robert Saleh. Oh, we're so close. You know, we did this, we did that. Well, until the object changes from scoring more than the opposition, when they start bringing judges in to – well, they lost, but, you know, they lost 24-10, but we're going to give them the win because they looked better.
That would be great. This is a tough one. By the way, I do want to repeat this because we brought it up earlier. It's a serious subject, and I think we left it open-ended. I got a bunch of tweets from people. You should still go look this up on WebMD. But I got a bunch of tweets from people that said, the deal with shingles is you only get shingles if you had chicken pox.
Well, I had it.
And, Don, you had it?
Yes.
Exactly. You didn't have it?
No, I did.
Most people had chicken pox.
But there's a mistake. Like, I had a friend whose father did not have chicken pox, and he got the shingles vaccine. And again, I am not a doctor. This is anecdotal, but it ended up being really not a good situation for him. So it's
for people who have chicken pox.
And well. Don, also, you have to make a correction to a mistake you made, an egregious one.
Really?
About the back-to-back Stanley Cup.
The Lightning. They just did it. Yeah.
How do you miss that?
Oh, well, come on, really?
It doesn't change the argument.
But I love you. You're like the people on Twitter. That's why I want to punch you in the face. You're no different than any other. You know why you are so descriptive about the Cheeto Dust people? Because that's what you would be. If you didn't have talent, you would be a Cheeto Dust living in your mom's basement going nowhere with your life. Honestly. Thank God gave you talent because you couldn't work through anything.
Why are you jumping me like this?
So you think it's on the table that I'm that stupid. Like, I love that. Like, that I follow hockey, I do a podcast, I do play-by-play, that it's not, well, Don was just being absent-minded, that there was a bubble and a 56-game schedule, and then a team that basically I can feel it in my stomach, it's so far up my rectum because it happened so recently, that I could be that stupid to not know that the Lightning won back-to-back cups, that maybe I was just a little absent-minded, that maybe I thought too deep about it, mentioned the Penguins in 16-17. The fact that you actually think it's on the table, makes you no different than the Cheeto Dust losers that tweet and jump on every mistake.
But I didn't say you were stupid. I just said, why don't you correct what you did?
Peter, you see how he doctored it up? Like, no, I was just saying correct the mistake. Did we not hear the things that he said?
Did we not hear what he said?
How mean-spirited he was.
I actually thought he just said, I got to call you out because you made an egregious mistake. Now, for Michael standards, that's not that big of an attack. That's what his he calls every mistake we make egregious.
Don, I think you should take back what you just said.
I won't, because I know it. I live it. I feel as strongly about that take as any take I've ever had. You jump, Peter, and I, we make mistakes, and glorify it.
I saw it on Twitter. I thought you wanted to correct it on the air.
No, I felt no need
Rather than have some clown that does radio and TV commentary rip you for it.
There is, like, I care. Sometimes you make a mistake that is just so off the wall that you don't even have to correct it because you know that any logical person would realize that it just slipped my mind. I did not need to be reminded that I covered some of those games, that the Lightning won back-to-back cups.
Why don't I just apologize for it.
I appreciate that you gave me the opportunity, but I think it was more of an opportunity to expose me than it was to give me a chance to correct it. I'm not going to correct it.
All right, sensitive Nancy. I made a mistake, too. I said that the Red Sox were the only team during the 20 years that have won multiple championships. Well, it was pointed out that the Cardinals have, and there was another team as well, the Giants. So I was wrong.
No, but I thought you were just regurgitating information. I didn't think you did that off the top of your head.
I was regurgitating, but I also left out something. I left it out. And I'm man enough to admit when I make a mistake.
No.
Obviously, you're thinner skin than me.
No, what a baby. There's nothing to do with thin
Take
skin.
Take a diaper and clean it out,
oh,
really.
No, listen, you attack me all you want. The fact is, I don't think it was being absent-minded. But just the idea that you for even a second thought that I didn't know that.
I didn't say that. I don't know what you're talking about. I was just saying correct yourself. That's all. I didn't say you didn't know it. It was egregious.
That somebody that does.
It was egregious because it just happened. It just happened, and you didn't have it.
I'm not correcting it.
You're not correcting
it. It's just so blatantly out. I'm not going to correct it.
You're not going to correct it.
I'm not going to apologize.
You know, this is like Peter. It's like Larry running into the glass yesterday. This is what I'm feeling. I can't look at him the same way.
Listen, I got to tell you, I don't want to give up too much about the show.
Right.
But I love Larry. He's not pulling Lucy Liu. There's no way. That's no.
Well, in the end, he didn't, sort of.
But that's not even negotiable. That's not happening. That's in the script.
But okay, but Cheryl Hines?
Well,
that's believable? And
that's
his wife in real life was a beautiful woman.
Neither is believable. Lucy
Liu
is way less believable.
Oh, okay, we got a break. You gonna apologize or not?
I hear you.
No.
You can not? Okay. Don's not gonna apologize. We'll be back in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.